You're listening to Touchstones, and this I'm your host, Paul Naj. We're going to continue with the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with taking off where we left off the last week, which is with Chapter 7. Wisdom and Realization. We are reading from Stephen Mitchell's translation, which came out at the beginning of this millennium. Krishna said, "Listen, Arjuna, I will tell you how you can know me beyond doubt by practicing non-attachment and surrendering yourself to me. I will teach you the essence of this wisdom and its realization. When you come to master this, there is nothing further that needs to be known. Of 10,000 men, perhaps one man strives for perfection. Of 10,000 who strive, perhaps one man knows me in truth. Earth, fire, water, and wind, air, mind, and understanding, and the eye sense, these are the eight aspects of my physical nature. This is my lower nature, but beyond this I have another, a higher nature, the life that sustains all beings in the world. Know that it is the womb from which all beings arise. The universe is born within me, and within me will be destroyed. There is nothing more fundamental than I, Arjuna. All worlds, all beings strung upon me like pearls on a single thread. I am the taste in water, the light in the moon and sun, the sacred syllable Om in the Vedas, the sound in air. I am the fragrance in the earth, the manliness in men, the brilliance in fire, the life in the living, and the absence in ascetics, and the abstinence in ascetics. I am the primal seed within all beings, Arjuna. The wisdoms of those who know the splendor of the high and the mighty. I am the strength of the strong man who is free of desire and attachment. I am desire itself when desire is consistent with duty. All states of being, whether marked by sattva or rajas or tamas, proceed from me. They are in me, not I in them. Because most men are deluded by the states of being, they cannot recognize me who am above these, supreme, eternal. But those men who turn to me can penetrate beyond this wondrous power of mine, this magic created by the three gunas. Others are deluded by my power. They do not attempt to find me, and in their ignorance sink into demonic evil. There are four kinds of virtuous men who worship me, Arjuna. The man in distress, the man who seeks power, the man who seeks wisdom, and the sage. Of these four, the sage is the most praiseworthy, unattached, steadfast. That man is supremely beloved by me, and I by him. All these are noble-minded, but the sage is my very self, calm, untroubled. He dwells in the ultimate goal, in me. At the end of his many lives, the sage unites with me, thinking, Krishna is all that is. Great souls like this and are rare. Men whose wisdom is darkened by desires, men who are hemmed in by the limits of their own natures, take refuge in other gods. But whatever the form of reverence, whatever god a sincere devotee chooses to worship, I grant him an unanswering faith. Empowered by his faith, that man earnestly seeks the god's favor and obtains the things he desires because I myself have ordained it. But fleeting is the reward. that men of small minds are given. They will go to the gods they worship, but my worshipers come to me. Though I am unmanifest, fools think that I have a form, unaware of my higher nature, which is permanent and supreme. Veiled in my mystery and power, I am not perceived by most men. Their deluded minds cannot see me. The unborn, the changeless, the undying, I know all beings who have passed, and all who live now, Argajuna, and all who are yet to be. But I am beyond all knowing. All beings are born in ignorance, ruled by aversion and craving. This, Argajuna, is the primal duality that keeps them bound. But when the man is released from dualities, he can act purely without attachment and can serve me with all his heart. Those who take refuge in me, striving for release from old age and death, know absolute freedom and the self and the nature of action. Those who know me and the nature of beings, of gods and of worship, are always with me in spirit, even at the hour of their death. And Argajuna said, what is this absolute freedom, Krishna? What is the self? What is the true nature of action, the nature of beings and of gods? Teach me the way of worship, what it is here in the body, and how, at the hour of death, can a man be with you in spirit? And the blessed Lord said, freedom is union from the deathless. The self is the essence of all things. Its creative power, called action, causes the whole world to be. About beings, know that they die. About gods, know the supreme person, and know the true worship is I myself here in this body. Whoever in his final moments thinks of me only is sure to enter my state of being once his body is dead. Whatever the state of being that a man may focus upon at the end, when he leaves his body, to that state his being will go. Therefore, Argajuna, meditate on me at all times and fight with your whole mind intent on me, and you will come to me, never doubt it. Strong in the practice of yoga, with a mind that is rooted in me and in nothing else, you will reach the supreme person that I am. Meditate on the guide, the giver of all, the primordial poet, smaller than an atom, unthinkable, brilliant as the sun. If you do this at the hour of your death with an unmoving mind, drawing your breath up between your eyebrows, you will reach the person that I am. I will teach you about the state called eternal, the absolute, which those who strive toward me enter, desireless, freed from attachments, closing the nine gates of the body, keeping the attention in the heart, drawing the breath to the forehead, with the mind absorbed and one-pointed, uttering the sacred Om, which itself is freedom, focused on me as you leave the body and you attain the ultimate goal. For men whose minds are forever focused on me, whose love has grown deep through meditation, I am easy to reach, Argajuna. Reaching me, these great souls attain the supreme perfection and no longer are reborn in this fleeting world of sorrow and pain. All realms up to the realm of Brahma are subject to rebirth. But those who attain me, Argajuna, will never be reborn again. If you know that one single day or one single night of Brahma lasts more than 4 billion years, you understand day and night. When day comes, all things emerge from the depths of unmanifest nature. When night comes, all things dissolve into the unmanifest again. These multitudes of beings in an endless, beginningless cycle helplessly dissolve when Brahma's night comes and emerge once more at his dawn. But beyond this unmanifest nature is another unmanifest state, a primal existence that is not destroyed when all things dissolve. This is the eternal unmanifest and is called the ultimate goal. Men who reach this, my supreme dwelling, are never reborn. This supreme person, Argajuna, who contains all being and extends to the limits of all that is, can be reached by wholehearted devotion. Now, Argajuna, I will tell you the times at which men of yoga die and must be reborn, or die never to return. Fire, light, the day, the moon's brightness, 6 months of the north turning sun, dying then men are free, go to absolute freedom. Smoke, gloom, night, the moon's darkness, 6 months of the south turning sun, dying then men of yoga reach the moon's light and return. These paths of light and of darkness have always existed. By one, a man will escape from rebirth. By another, he is born again. Knowing these two paths, Argajuna, the man of yoga, at all times resolute in his non-attachment, goes far beyond the merit gained from the study of scriptures, from the acts of worship or control or charity. Dying, he reaches the supreme primordial place. And the blessed Lord Krishna continued, because you trust me, Argajuna, I will tell you what wisdom is. The secret of life, know it, and be free of suffering forever. This is the supreme wisdom, the knowing beyond all knowing, experientially, directly, in a flash, eternal, and a joy to practice. Those who are without faith in my teaching cannot attain me. They endlessly return to this world, shuttling from death to death. I permeate all the universe in my unmanifest form. All beings exist within me, and yet I am so inconceivably vast, so beyond existence, that though they are brought forth and sustained by my limitless power, I am not confined within them. Just as all the moving wind, wherever it goes, always remains in the vastness of space, all beings remain within me. They are gathered back into my womb at the end of the cosmic cycle, 150,000 billion of your earthly years, and as a new cycle begins, I send them forth once again, pouring from my abundance the myriad forms of life. These actions do not bind me, Argajuna. I stand apart from them all, indifferent to their outcome, unattached, serene. Under my guidance, nature brings forth all beings, all things, animate and inanimate, and sets the whole universe in motion. Foolish people despise me in the human form that I take, blind to my true nature as the Lord of all life and death. Their hopes and actions are vain, their knowledge is sheer delusion. Turning from the light, they fall into cruelty, selfish greed. But they're truly wise, Argajuna, who dive deep into themselves, fearless, one-pointed, know me as the inexhaustible source, always chanting my praise, steadfast in their devotion. They make their lives an unending hymn to my endless love. Others, on the path of knowledge, know me as the many, the one, beyond the faces of a million, gods, they see my face. I am the ritual and the worship, the medicine and the mantra, the burnt butter and the fire. I am the flames that consume it. I am the father of the universe and its mother, essence and goal of all knowledge, the refiner, the sacred ohm, the threefold Vedas. I am the beginning and the end, origin and dissolution, refuge, home, true lover, womb, imperishable seed. I am the heat of the sun. I hold back the rain and release it. I am death and the deathless and all that is or is not. The righteous who follow the scriptures strictly will drink the soma and are purified of their sins, who pray to be taken to heaven. They reach the world of the gods and enjoy an indescribable bliss. Although after eons of this vast and glorious pleasures, when their merit is spent, they fall back into the mortal world. Impelled by desire, they achieve only what will pass away. To those who meditate on me, undistracted, and worship me everywhere, always, I will bring a reward that never can be lost. Arjuna, all those who worship other gods with deep faith are really worshiping me, even if they don't know it. For I am the only object, the only enjoyer of worship, and they fall back because they cannot know me as I truly am. Worshipping gods, men go to the gods, worshipping spirits to the spirits. Worshipping me, they come to me in the end. Any offering, a leaf, a flower, or fruit, a cup of water, I will accept it if given with a loving heart. Whatever you do, Arjuna, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you say or eat or pray or enjoy or suffer, in this way you will be freed from all the results of your actions, good or harmful. Unfettered, untroubled, you will come to me. I am the same as all beings. I favor none and reject none, but those who worship me live within me and I live in them. Even the heartless criminal, if he loves me with all his heart, will certainly grow into sainthood as he moves towards me in his path. Quickly, that man becomes pure and his heart finds eternal peace. Arjuna, no one who truly loves me will ever be lost. All those who love and trust me, even the lowest of the low, prostitutes, beggars, slaves, will attain the ultimate goal. How much easier for ordinary people or for those with pure hearts in this sad vanishing world, turn to me and find freedom. Concentrate your mind on me. Fill your heart with my presence. Love me, serve me, worship me, and you will attain me at last. And Krishna continued. We're now in chapter 10. Listen further, Arjuna, to these words that delight your heart. This is my utmost teaching, which I tell you for your greatest good. Neither the Midrash gods nor the sages know my origin. I am the source from which gods and sages emerge. Whoever knows me as the unborn, the beginningless, the great Lord of all worlds, he alone sees truly and is freed from all harm. Understanding and wisdom, patience, truth, peace of mind, pleasure and pain, being and non-being, fear and courage, non-violence, equanimity, control, benevolence, fame, dishonor, all these conditions come forth from me alone. The seven primeval sages, the four progenitors from whom all human beings descend, arose from my own depths, mind-born. He who can understand the glory of my manifestations is forever united with me by his unwavering love. I am the source of all things, and all things emerge from me. knowing this wise men worship by entering my state of being, thinking and speaking of me, enlightening one another, their lives surrendered to my care, and they are always serene and joyous. To those who are steadfast, who love me with true devotion, I give the yoga of understanding, which will bring them to where I am. Acting with deep compassion, from within my own being, I dispel all ignorance-born darkness with wisdom's resplendent light. And Nagarjuna said, "You, Lord, are the supreme freedom, the supreme abode, the eternal person, the primordial God, all-pervading, birthless. This is how the great sages describe you, the divine Narada, Ashita, Divala, Vasaya, and now you yourself confirm it. Everything you have told me, Krishna, I believe is true. Neither the gods nor the demons can grasp your infinite forms. You alone know yourself through yourself. Lord of all beings, cause and origin, master of the universe, God of gods, tell me now in detail the divine self-manifestations by which you pervade these worlds and grace them with so much splendor. How can I know you, Krishna, you who alone who know yourself through yourself? Which of your many forms should I visualize, Lord of Yoga, as I follow my thoughts on you? Give me some further examples of your glorious manifestations, for I never can tire of hearing your life-giving, honey-sweet words." And Krishna continues, "All right, Arjuna, I will tell you a few of my manifestations. The most glorious ones for infinite are the forms in which I appear. I am the Self, Arjuna, seated in the heart of all beings. I am the beginning and the lifespan of beings and their end as well. Of the sky gods, I am Vishnu. Of the heavenly lights, the sun. Marichi, chief of the wind gods, among the stars, I am the moon. Of the Vedas, I am the hymns. Indra, among the gods, the mind among the six senses, consciousness of all beings. I am the storm gods. I am Shiva. I am the demigods, Kerbura, Agni among the bright gods, and Muru, the highest of mountains. Know, Arjuna, that among priests I am Brihaspati, of generals the war god Sakana, of waters I am the ocean, of the great seers I am Brigru, of words the syllable Om, of worship I am the mantra, of mountain chains Himalaya, of trees the sacred fig tree, of divine sages Narada, of the high celestial musicians, Chittaratha of saints, and the wise Kapala of horses, Uchavara, Indra's favorite born, of sea foam of elephants, Indra's winged, Aravata of men, I am the king of weapons, Indra's thunderbolt of cows, Kamaduk, the wish granter, Kamabhadarpa, the god of love, the king of reptiles, Vasuki, the divine snake, I am Adhanta, the cosmic serpent, Varuna. Among the gods of the ocean, of the blessed forefathers, I am Aryaman, of the controllers, Yama, the god of death, of demons, the devout, Pralada, of things that compel, I am Time, the king of animals, the lion, Garuda, among birds, of purifiers, the wind, of warriors, I am Rama, of sea monsters, Makara, of rivers, the holy Ganges, of creations, the beginning and the end, and the middle as well, Arjuna, of knowledge, knowledge of the self, of orators, I am the speech, of letters, I am the first, the imperishable time, the creator whose face is everywhere, death that devours all things, the source of all things to come of feminine powers. I am fame, wealth, speech, and memory, intelligence, loyalty, forgiveness. Of chance, I am the great Birhat. Of poetic meters, the Garachi. Of months, Magarsarshicha, the first month. Of seasons, the flowerless spring. Of swindles, I am the dice game. Of splendors, of the high and the mighty, determination and victory, the courage of all brave men. I am the Rishi clan. I am Krishna of the Pandavas. I am Arjuna of the sages. I am Vasasha of the poets. I am the sublime Ushantas of punishers. I am the scepter, the astuteness of the great leaders, the silence of secret things. I am the wisdom of the wise. I am the divine seed within all beings, Arjuna. Nothing inanimate or animate could exist for a moment without me. And these are a small number of my infinite manifestations. Were I to tell you more, there would be no ending of the telling. Whatever in this world is excellent and grows with intelligence or beauty, be sure that it has its source in the fragrance of my divine splendor. But what need is there of all these details? Just know that I am, that I support the whole universe with a single fragment of myself. And Arjuna said, "Gracious Lord, you have spoken about the ultimate secret revealed when one knows the self, and your words have cleared up my confusion. You have told me in detail the origin and dissolution of all things that have described your own past and imperishable being. I do not doubt that you are what you say you are, Lord, and yet I want to see for myself the splendor of your ultimate form. If you think I am strong enough, worthy enough to endure it, grant me now, Lord, a vision of your vast, imperishable self." And Krishna continued, "Look, Arjuna, thousands, millions of my divine forms, beings of all kinds and sizes, of every color and shape. Look, the sun gods, the gods of fire, dawn, sky, wind, storm, wonders that no mortal has ever beheld. Look, look, Arjuna, the whole universe, all things animate and inanimate are gathered here. Look, enfolded inside my infinite body. But since you are not able to see me with mortal eyes, I will grant you divine sight. Look, look, the depths of my power." After he had spoken these words, Krishna, the great Lord of Yoga, revealed to Arjuna his majestic, transcendent, limitless form, with innumerable mouths and eyes and faces too marvelous to stare at, dazzling ornaments, innumerable weapons, uplifted, flaming, crowned with fire, wrapped in pure light with celestial fragrance. He stood forth as the infinite God, composed of all wonders in a thousand suns, were it to rise and stand in the moon sky, blazing such brilliance would be like the fierce brilliance of that mighty self. Arjuna saw the whole universe enfolded with the countless billions of life forms gathered together in the body of the God of Gods. Trembling with awe, his blood chilled, his hair standing up in his flesh, he bowed and joined his palms and spoke these words to Krishna. Arjuna said, "I see all gods in your body and multitudes of beings, Lord, and Brahma with his lotus throne, and seers and the shining angels. I see everywhere with billions of arms and eyes and bellies and faces without end. Middle or beginning, your body of the whole universe, Lord. Crowned, bearing mace and discus, You dazzle my eye, blazing in the measureless, massive sun-flame splendor of your radiant form. You are the deathless, the utmost goal of all knowledge, the world's base, the guardian of the eternal law, the primordial person. I see you, beginningless, endless, infinite in power, with a billion arms, a sun and moon, your eyeballs, the flames of your mouth, lighting the whole universe with splendor. You alone fill all space, and of the three worlds shudder when they see you, astounding, terrifying form. Multitudes of gods approach you, palms join in dread and wonder. Multitudes of sages chant to you, hymns of deep adoration. The storm gods, the gods of light, of sky, of dawn and wind, the angels, the saints, the demagogues and demons, all gaze at you in amazement. Your stupendous form, your billions of eyes and limbs and bellies and mouths and dreadful fangs, seeing them, the worlds tremble, and so do I. As you touch the sky, many-hued, gape-mouthed, your huge eyes blazing, my innards tremble, my breath stops, my bones turn to jelly. Seeing your billion-fanged mouths blaze like the fires of doomsday, I faint, I stagger, I despair. Have mercy on me, Lord Vishnu. All of Drikshada's men and all these multitudes of kings, Bhishma, Drona, Karana, and all those other warriors behind them are rushing headlong into your hideous, gaping, knife-fanged jaws. I see them with skulls crushed and their raw flesh stuck to your teeth. And as the rivers in many torments rush toward the ocean, all these warriors are pouring down into your blazing mouths. And the maws rush to flame and are burned in an instant. All these beings plunge down your gullet and are instantly consumed. You gulp down all worlds everywhere. You swallow them in their flames. And your rays, Lord Vishnu, fill up all the universe with dreadful brilliance. Who are you in this terrifying form? Have mercy, Lord. Grant me even a glimmer of understanding to prop up my staggering mind. And Krishna said, I am death, shatterer of worlds, annihilating all things. With or without you, these warriors in their facing armies will die. Therefore, stand up, win glory, conquer the enemy, rule. And already I have stuck them, struck them down, as you are just my instrument, Arjuna. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna, and the other great heroes all have been killed by me. Fight without hesitation, kill them. Having heard Krishna's speech, Arjuna's palms joined. Shivering with terror, bowed to the Lord and deeply stammered these words. Now I know why the universe delights and rejoices in you. Terrify the demons scattered before you and the sages bow. Why should they not bow, eternal creator, infinite Lord? You are both being and non-being. And what is beyond them both? The primal God, the primordial person, the ultimate place of the universe, the knower and the known, the presence that fills all things. You are the wind, death, fire, the moon, the Lord of life, the great ancestor of all things. 1,000 times I bow in front of you, Lord. Again and again I bow to you from all sides in every direction. Majesty infinite in power, you pervade. No, you are all things. If, thinking you a human, I ever touched you or patted your back or called you dear fellow or friend through negligence or affection or greeted you with disrespect thoughtlessly, when you were playing or resting alone or in public, I beg you to forgive me, immeasurable God. great father of the world, teacher, sustainer, goal of all reverence, unique and peerless, Lord of unthinkable splendor. Therefore, most sincerely, I beg your pardon, as a father forgives his son, a friend, his dear friend, a lover, his beloved, forgive me. Having seen what no mortal has seen, I am joyful, yet I quiver with dread. Show me your other form, please, the one that I know, have mercy. Let me see you as you were before crowned, bearing mace and discus and only four arms, O billion-armed Lord of the infinite forms. And the blessed Lord said, graciously, for your sake, Argajuna, I show you my highest form, dazzling, infinite, primal, which no one has seen but you. Not by worship or study or alms or ascetic practice can I be seen in this form by anyone but you, Argajuna. Do not be frightened or confused at seeing my honorific form. Fear, free of fear, lighthearted, see me as I was before. Having spoken thus to Arjuna, the Lord stood before him again in the mild and pleasant form of Krishna, the kind and the beautiful. And Arjuna said, seeing your human form, Krishna, I feel at ease. Once more, I am myself, and my mind has regained its composure. And Krishna said, the vision you have been granted is difficult to attain. Even the gods are always longing to behold me like this. Not by study or rites or alms or ascetic practice can I be seen in this cosmic form as you have just seen me. Only a single-minded devotion can I be known. As I truly am, Argajuna, can I be seen and entered. He who acts for my sake, loving me free of attachment, with benevolence towards all beings, will come to me in the end. And Argajuna said, oh, one man loves you with pure devotion, another man loves you the unmanifest. Which of these two understands yoga more deeply? Those who love and revere me with unwavering faith, always centering their minds on me, they are the most perfect in yoga. But those who revere the imperishable, the unsayable, the unmanifest, the all-present, the inconceivable, the exalted, the unchanging, the eternal, mastering their senses, acting at all times with equanimity, rejoicing in the welfare of all beings, they too reach me at last. But their path is much more arduous, because for embodied beings, the unmanifest is obscure and difficult to attain. Those who love and revere me, who surrender all actions to me, who meditate upon me with undistracted attention, whose minds have entered my being, I come to them all, Argajuna, and quickly rescue them all from the ocean of death and birth. Concentrate every thought on me alone, with a mind fully absorbed and one-pointed, and you will live within me forever. If you find that you are unable to center your thoughts on me, strengthen your mind by the steady practice of concentration. If this is beyond your powers, dedicate yourself to me, performing all actions for my sake, and you will surely achieve success. If even this is beyond you, rely on my basic teaching. Act always without attachment, surrendering the action's fruits. Knowledge is better than practice. Meditation is better than knowledge. And best of all is surrender, which soon brings peace. He who has let go of hatred, who treats all beings with kindness and compassion, who is always serene and unmoved by pain or pleasure, free of the eye and the mind, self-controlled, firm, and patient, his whole mind focused on me, that man is the one I love best. He who neither disturbs the world nor is disturbed by it, who is free of all joy, fear, envy, that man is the one I love best. He who is pure, impartial, skilled, unworried, calm, selfless in all undertakings, that man is the one I love best. He who is devoted to me is beyond joy and hatred, grief and desire, good and bad fortune. That man is the one I love best. The same is to both friends and foe, the same to disgrace or honor, suffering or joy, untroubled, indifferent to praise and blame. Quite filled with devotion, content with whatever happens at home, whatever he is, that man is the one I love best. Those who realize the essence of duty, who trust me completely and surrender their lives to me, I love them with the very great love. Argajuna said, what are nature and self? What are the field and its knower, knowledge and the object of knowledge? Teach me about them, Krishna. And Krishna said, this body is called the field. And Argajuna, the one who watches whatever happens within it, wise men call him the knower. I am the knower of the field and every body, Argajuna. Genuine knowledge means knowing both the field and its knower. Listen, and I will explain the nature of the field. What changes takes place in it, what is the knower, and what his great powers are. The sages have sung their truths in the sacred hymns and in many powerful and well-argued reasonings about God. The five elements, the eye sense, the understanding, the ten senses, the mind, the unmanifest, the five domains of the senses, desire and aversion, pleasure and pain, consciousness, will, all these components make up the field with its various changes, humility, patience, sincerity, nonviolence, uprightness, purity, devotion to one's spiritual teacher, constancy, self-control, dispassion towards objects of the senses, freedom from the eye sense, insight into the evils of birth, sickness, old age, and death, detachment, absence of clinging to son, wife, family, and home, unshakable equanimity in good fortune or bad, an unwavering devotion to me above all things, an intense love of solitude, distaste for involvement in worldly affairs, persistence in knowing the self, awareness of the goal of knowing, all this is called true knowledge. What differs from it is called ignorance. I will teach you what you should be known. Knowing it, you are immortal. It is the supreme reality which transcends both being and non-being. Its hands and its feet are everywhere. Everywhere its eyes, the heads and mouth. Everywhere its ears. It dwells in all worlds, containing all things. Though lacking senses itself, it shines through the workings of the senses, unattached by all sustaining experience, the gunas yet above them, outside yet within all beings, motionless, always moving, subtle beyond comprehension, far yet nearer than the near, indivisible, though it seems, undivided, inseparable bodies, it is what sustains all things. What devours them, what creates them. It is the light of lights beyond all darkness. It is knowledge, the object of knowledge of all knowledge. It is seated in the hearts of all beings. This, in brief, is the field, knowledge, the knowledge, the object of knowledge. A devotee who understands this is ready for my state of being. No? That both nature and self are equally without beginning, and know that nature gives rise to changes in the field and the gunas. Nature is the cause of any activity in the body. The self is the cause of any feelings of pleasure or pain. The self, abiding in nature, experiences the gunas. Its attachment to the gunas cause its birth in good wombs and in evil wombs. It is called the witness, the consenter, the sustainer, the enjoyer, the great lord, and also the highest self, the supreme person in this body. He who thus knows the self as separate from nature and the gunas will never be born again, whatever path he may follow. By meditation, some men can see the self in the self, and others by the yoga of knowledge, others by selfless action. Still others, not seeing, only hear about it and worship. They too cross beyond death, trusting in what they have heard. Whatever exists, Argajuna, animate or inanimate, has come into existence from the union of field and knower. And he who sees that the great Lord is equally in all beings, deathless when they every being dies, that man sees truly. Seeing the great Lord everywhere, he knows beyond doubt that he cannot harm the self by the self, and he reaches the highest goal. He who sees that all actions are performed by nature alone, and thus that the self is not the doer, that man sees truly. When he sees the midget beings emanate from the one, they have their source in the one, that man gains absolute freedom. The Supreme Self is beginningless, deathless, unconfined, and although it inhabits bodies and it neither acts nor is tainted, just as all present state is all too rarefied to be tainted, so the self is untainted by dwelling within a body. Just as the sun by itself illumines the entire world, so the field owner illumines everything in the field. He whose eyes sees how the knower is distinct from the field and how men are set free from nature arrive at the highest state. And the Blessed Lord continued, I will teach you further about the true knowledge and ultimate knowledge which all sages have mastered and gone to supreme perfection. Relying on this and attaining a state like mine, they neither are reborn when the world is created, nor grieve when it is dissolved. Nature, for me, is a womb. In nature I plant my seed, and from the seed of mine bursts forth the origins of all beings. Whatever life forms, Argajuna, develop in any womb, nature is their primal womb, and I am their seed-giving father. The three gunas, born of nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas, bind to the mortal body, the deathless embodied self. Of these three, sattva, untainted, luminous, free from sorrow, binds by means of attachment to knowledge and joy, Argajuna. Rajas is marked by passion, born of craving and attachment. It binds the embodied self by never-ending activity. Tamas, ignorance born, deluded all embodied beings. It binds them, Argajuna, by means of dullness, indolence, and sleep. Sattva causes attachment to joy, rajas to action, and tamas, obscuring knowledge, attaches beings to dullness. Sattva prevails when it masters rajas and tamas both. Rajas and tamas prevails when it masters the other two. When the light of knowledge shines forth through all the gates of the body, then it is apparent that sattva is the ruling trait. Greed and constant activity, excessive projects and cravings, restless there arise with rajas as the ruling trait. Darkness, dullness, stagnation, indolence, confusion, torpor, and inertia, these appear when tamas is the ruling trait. In a being dies in a state where the quality of sattva prevails, he goes into the stainless heavens of those who have seen the truth. If he dies when rajas prevails, he is born again, though attached to action. If tamas prevails, he is born among the deluded. The fruit of action, well done, is sattva and without a stain. But the fruit of rajas is suffering and ignorance of the fruit of tamas. From sattva, knowledge is born. From rajas, restlessness and greed. Dullness and confusion arise from tamas and ignorance also. Men of sattva go upward. Men of rajas remain in between. And men of tamas, lowest of all, sink downward. When a man sees clearly that there is no doer besides the gunas, and knows that what exists beyond them, he can enter my state of being. Going beyond the three gunas that arise from the body, freed from the sorrows of birth, old age, and death, he attains the immortal. And Argajuna said, how can I recognize the man who has gone beyond the three gunas? What has he done to go beyond them? How does he act? And the blessed Lord said, whatever quality arises, light, activity, delusion, he neither dislikes its presence nor desires it when it is there. He is unattached, who is not disturbed by the gunas, who is firmly rooted and knows that only the gunas are acting, who is equally self-contained in pain or pleasure, in happiness or sorrow, who is content with whatever happens, who sees dirt, rocks, and gold as equal, who is unperturbed amidst praise or blame of himself, indifferent to honor or disgrace, serene in success and failure, impartial to friend and foe, unattached to action, that man has gone beyond the three gunas. He who faithfully serves me with the yoga of devotion, going beyond the three gunas, is already to attain the ultimate freedom. For I am the foundation of the birthless, the imperishable freedom, the basis of eternal duty, the limitless, perfect joy. So we have been reading from the Bhagavad Gita.